It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Dark Knight Rises, Jack Reacher, and The Fault in Our Stars are some Hollywood movies filmed here in Pittsburgh. This month marks the 100th anniversary of the birth of the Steel City's film industry. Pop culture contributor Joe Woese joins us now to fill us in on the beginnings of Pittsburgh's connection to Hollywood. Joining us in studio, Joe Woese, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me as always.
The feature movie industry got its start in Pittsburgh with something called Cupid's Garden Party. It debuted on October 4th, 1915, making this the 100th anniversary of the real birth of Pittsburgh's film industry. What is the story behind this film?
So it's really interesting, a fascinating story. You had Richard Roland and James B. Clark. Now, these two men started out in film distribution. There were a lot of film distributors in Pittsburgh. They then sort of followed that to opening up some movie theaters. They had more movie theaters than anybody in Pittsburgh. They had the largest number, and they stretched all the way up to Erie, Braddock. All the Pittsburgh neighborhoods had one of their theaters. And they decided, like many did, like the Warner Brothers did, that rather than buying films off of someone else, it made sense to start producing their own films. So they start this film company called the Metro Picture Company. Now, we know that today because Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer was part of that merger. That's how Metro became MGM.
Started here,
as Warner Bros. Did as well. So they move out to Hollywood with the Metro Pictures, and they decide, you know what, we should do something in Pittsburgh to really pack our theaters. So they come up with this idea of producing a film entirely in Pittsburgh. So that's the beginning of it. They pair with the Pittsburgh Press and run this contest to try and find the next big film stars of Pittsburgh.
Now, what type of films were being produced in Pittsburgh before this? Because this was the first big all-Pittsburgh feature film, but there were films that were done before that here?
Yeah, there were. I mean, the Cupid's Garden Party was the first sort of five-reel film, 3,000 feet of film. It was about 30 minutes long, so it was the first really theatrical release. Before that, you had a lot of industrial films being produced by Westinghouse. You had some, clips of steel mills that would appear here and there that was sort of stock footage. And most famously, people reference Perils of Pauline, and, there's really nothing to support Perils of Pauline being the first film in Pittsburgh. It seems it was never filmed here at all.
So who was involved in this production of Cupid's Garden Party? You said it was 30 minutes?
About 30 minutes.
Which I guess then was a feature film. Today would be considered a short, probably.
Yeah, considered a short today, but that was considered a feature film.
Five reels, man.
Five reels, quite a bit. They brought in the whole Metro team. The director was George Lissoir. He had most famously worked with Pathé Films, which is sort of this legendary,
sure,
film production company. Interestingly, he's credited with discovering Pearl White, who was the star of Perils of Pauline. And we may see where some of that myth came about.
Okay.
The cameraman, Edward Snyder, also brought in from Hollywood, had also worked on Perils of Pauline as both the lighting and cameraman. So the cameraman of lighting was Edward Snyder. The writer was a man named Arthur James. He was the founder of the Association of Motion Picture Advertisers, was the idea man for Metro. He would come up with these scenarios. So you had some real big, Hollywood names who came back to Pittsburgh to film this.
And we should probably explain, because I don't think there are, I don't know how many 100-year-old and upward, or 100 years and over people there are listening to the program that probably don't remember The Perils of Pauline or have studied The Perils of Pauline, but what... It was a series of melodramas, right?
It was a serial. It was one of the first cliffhangers. It was a series of shorts. There were about 20 or so of them, I believe, although there's only about 9 that survive. And it was sort of that origin of the mustache-twirling villain and the damsel in distress. So it became quite a phenomenon.
She was tied to the railroad tracks
and
things
like that.
Tied to the railroad,
thrown off bridges and all sorts of things.
And she always survived.
Always survive.
Because I'm guessing people would not have wanted to go back and see them if she didn't. And so they were popular. And as far as Cupid's Garden Party, we've established that this is really a Pittsburgh production. So I'm sure right now people's minds are going to, where was this done? Where in Pittsburgh? What were the locations?
Yeah,
of the film?
There were actually quite a bit of locations. For a film this long, they really were able to sort of showcase Pittsburgh. They actually did all the screen tests at Kennywood Park. They had actually thousands and thousands of people who showed up to see the screen test for the actors and actresses who had, you know, won or been finalists in the contest. By the way, they were each paid $75, which is
a lot of money in those days.
Lot of money, which would be about $1,700 today. So it was on par with what they were paying, you know, regular Hollywood actors. So, you know, they treat us very seriously. The sets included Forbes Field, several of the Pittsburgh Steel Mills, most likely Edgar Thomson Works and Braddock. Both Highland Park and Schenley Park were included, the Pittsburgh Field Club, and several of Pittsburgh's famous millionaires' estates.
We're talking with our culture contributor Joe Woes about the birth of the Steel City's film industry, which began in earnest with the filming of Cupid's Garden Party on location here in Pittsburgh. And I'm sure people have to be wondering, where can I see this?
You can't. The film has completely vanished. There's very few records of it. It most likely was destroyed. There was a fire at MGM that destroyed most of their films predating 1920. So unless it's out there somewhere in Pittsburgh, there were so many copies of the reels because it ran everywhere in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know, every so often a film is thought to be lost and it turns up somewhere. So if you see a reel of film in your attic somewhere that you can't account for, get Joe's attention and bring it to him and have him see if maybe this was the long-lost Cupid's Garden Party. Hopefully it'll be found. A lot of those early films, a lot of those silent films from the teens, unfortunately, were lost. And it would be great, though, if someone could find this. In the meantime, how was the film received by the public in Pittsburgh? Did it get rave reviews?
Oh, it was a phenomenon. It ran in, you know, every one of Roland and Clark's theaters, and then the other theaters were asking for it. So it was a huge success. They were turning people away. These theaters. It screened into West Virginia, into Ohio. It's not known if it screened beyond that, but the fact that it made it into three states is sort of amazing. And it was just really, truly a phenomenon. People wanted to see, you know, their family and friends in this film. People wanted to see, you know, their neighborhood, their parks. So it really was just this staggering success for the region and for the theaters.
And what would be a theater that's still standing today where you would have been able to see
You
Cupid's
know, there's unfortunately not many of them left. What is now this? What became the Stanley Theater and what was one of the screening places? The Regent. There were theaters. I mean, just you know, it's amazing. It ran in over 20 theaters just in the Pittsburgh region.
The Stanley's now the Benedum, you can walk by there and say, "Well, gee, that's where Cupid's Garden Party played." Finally, in the last 30 seconds or so that we have, what is the legacy of Cupid's Garden Party?
You know, they continued this contest. So they did it again in 1960 with Man and Millionaire filmed in Pittsburgh. So it ran for a little bit up until about the 1920s. They were doing contests, but they were much smaller. But this film really established that it could be done in Pittsburgh. You could bring Hollywood here. You could bring in the crews and really make a production that was fully done here. And we see that legacy today, that Pittsburgh is a great city for filming.
Oh, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing it with us. Joe Woes, our culture contributor, joining us in studio. Great thanks.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Tomorrow on the program, the great actor, stage screen actor, and television as well, Hal Holbrook, joining us to talk about performing as Mark Twain next week in Pittsburgh. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.